Well, well, surprise, surprise. Here I am today with a bonus episode all about the recent Tony Award nominations. Just consider this an early Christmas present. And actually, there will be some Christmas goodies coming your way this holiday season. To stay up to date with all things podcast happenings, you can join the Win Me newsletter by going to whyillnevermakeit.com. I'm your host, Patrick Oliver Jones, host of this podcast, and I am so happy to introduce you to music director, conductor, and fellow podcaster, Nate Patton. Nate and I first met when he was associate conducting Charlie and the Chocolate Factory on Broadway. He also has his own podcast called Booked It.
I have joined the Broadway community so that the powerful can no longer beat up on people who cannot defend themselves. Nobody knows Broadway better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
And this is the kind of witty, tongue-in-cheek, and knowledgeable opinions that I wanted to bring on the show today to talk about these Tony nominations. The lone Best Actor nomination of Aaron Tveit, the complete snubbing of The Lightning Thief, only plays being nominated for Best Original Score. Nate and I will get into all of this, as well as what the nominations in general say about the state of theater today, and we'll even make a few Tony predictions. All right, so let's get down to it. Here is Nate Patton and myself giving our 2 cents on the 2020 Tony Award nominations. Well, why don't we start off with just kind of the general overview? What was your general impression of the nominations when they came out, the timing? Just what was your overall thought?
Well, first of all, they came out so late. Yeah. Because, they, obviously they were supposed to come out, you know, they would come out in May or something. But I'm saying even after they announced that there would be a Tony Awards, they made this big announcement over the summer. They said the Tonys will be in the fall. And then just, there were months of radio silence.
Nothing.
So already off the bat, I was like, are they even going to do this? I was thinking that they were just going to like pretend they never said it. So when they finally made the announcement, I said, I was almost surprised they even actually did them. I thought there was a good possibility that they were just going to scrap the Tonys altogether. So when they came out, I said this on my own podcast, I'm normally so in touch with this stuff. I was always following the Tonys. I wake up to watch them normally. And this year someone texted me at 11 a.m., on that day, and they said, you know, the Tony nominations come out at noon. And I said, they do?
No one knew. I had no idea.
It was the first time in my life, probably since I was a baby, that I didn't follow the nominations. So I think they were just so under the radar this year because of everything.
Well, I think that that also goes to the fact that they still don't even know when the Tonys are happening. They're like, maybe December, or like they don't.
I'm not sure exactly what they're waiting for, since they're going to be on Zoom. Are they waiting for Aaron Tveit's internet service to get fixed?
Oh my gosh!
It's not like they're waiting on Radio City.
Well. Since you brought up Mr. Tveit, let's just go ahead and go with that. So, there is only one nomination for Best Actor.
Is there ever?
I was looking back. I think it was the 95 Tonys. The 95 Tonys are similar in a lot of ways to this one, in the fact that there was only two Best Actress awards.
Nominees.
Okay. Nominees. That's what I mean. It was Glenn Close and Rebecca Luker. Go ahead.
It was a little worse then, I suppose, because at least we have the pandemic as an excuse as to why there's no nominees.
Right.
They had two nominees and they didn't have a coronavirus outbreak. So that was just a bad year of theater. This wasn't necessarily a bad year of theater. It was just, this is just what happened.
Now, what are your thoughts on that whole cutoff date of February 19th? It seemed very arbitrary to me, but they, you know, their line is, well, we want to make sure that all of our voting members could have seen these shows.
I have racked my brain personally for a reason behind that exact cutoff date, and I can't find one. I've also asked everyone I've ever met in the business, where did that cutoff date come from? I've yet to hear an answer. Maybe there is one. I'm not saying they don't have a good reason, because I don't want to be corrected. Like, I just had no idea. But I don't know where that date came from. All I know is that it was the day before West Side Story would be eligible.
Right. So had they done the 20th instead of the 19th, West Side Story would be eligible. So there was obviously a reason for that.
It's hard for me to not imagine that West Side Story's eligibility was not in one way or another where the date came from.
Yes.
Because it was so specific. The date that they even picked was in the middle of a week. It made no sense to me. So if you're asking my gut instinct, I do think it was based around either a distaste for people involved in West Side Story or
the controversy surrounding it. And
yeah, I don't know. I'm not here to make that call, but it's really hard for me to think that there wasn't some personal investment in the date.
Yeah. For whatever reason, whether it was artistic or personal, I think it would just be a very weird coincidence if they just happened to pick the day before West Side Story would be eligible. So
right.
Yeah. So obviously I think you're right that had something to do with it. But also that would have meant it would have been the only potential nominee for revival. So then that would have meant that it would have likely have won outright.
I suppose.
Much like Aaron DeVitt might win outright.
I mean, let's hope he wins, because if he doesn't win, what a slap in the face to him.
I know. And this is what I wanted to ask you, because, okay, this is just a weird year. I also think that there should have been other nominees. They should have found a way. But
I agree.
Do you think that voters should or would take a stand and not vote Aaron DeVitt to get the award, since he's the only nominee, since this is a weird season, since there's so many shows that aren't eligible?
Well, I certainly can't speak for anybody else, but what I can say is that if I were fortunate enough to be a Tony voter, I would definitely give him the award. If I were voting myself, I would.
Okay.
For a few reasons. First of all, I think he was really good in the show. But second of all, it's just, it would be truly a slap in the face to not award him, I think, because you can't fault him for being in this precarious situation.
Definitely not his fault.
It would just be a really embarrassing, humiliating situation to him if he lost a Tony to himself. So I would never want, I don't think anybody should be subjected to that humiliation, especially when this isn't his fault. Like he had nothing to do with this. So why should he be publicly humiliated by becoming the person who lost a Tony to himself? With that said, if they had nominated somebody that I really felt was ridiculous that person was nominated for a Tony, whether because of the size of their role, you know, for whatever reason, then maybe I wouldn't vote for them. But in this particular instance, I would vote to give him the Tony. Okay. Because remember, he has to get 60% of the vote.
Right. So they do legitimately have to vote for him to give it to him. So if he doesn't reach the 60% threshold, then he doesn't. And you talk about a slap in the face, and I think the biggest one goes to Lightning Thief, which got no nominations. It also was the only original musical within that eligible season as they gave it, and wasn't nominated for original score, basically just nothing. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, my thoughts are that it would never have been nominated if it was in the regular season, because it wasn't even nominated this time. So, but I've said that it is a big slap in the face to them. And I suppose it's just that it just sucks for Lightning Thief.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that anyone did wrong to Lightning Thief. I don't necessarily think that Lightning Thief deserved 12 Tony nominations. But I do think that it was an unfortunately embarrassing situation for them. If all of the other shows had not been eligible and they didn't get any nominations, that might be disappointing, but it wouldn't be humiliating. I think that because there was no competition and they still didn't get any nominations, that was really embarrassing for them. And I feel bad for them, because I've been a part of shows that didn't get nominated for anything, but in a big season, and you know, you're like, oh, whatever. But it's not humiliating, because there were other great shows. It's just that in this particular year, there was no other competition, so it's really embarrassing, I think.
Yeah, I never got to see the show. I was out of town whenever it was playing this last December. But Yes, it got very mixed to bad reviews as far as the Broadway production. The off-Broadway production got rave reviews. However, once it moved to Broadway, then it didn't fare so well.
I'm not sure how that makes any sense, but unless it's being reviewed by different people.
Or maybe they just did some weird changes that literally blew up when they went to Broadway. But I did read that the lead character himself did get some fairly good reviews within the context of a badly reviewed show. Now, do you think that he at least could have been pulled out? I mean, it would have given Aaron Tveit some competition, quote unquote.
I didn't see The Lightning Thief either, so which is why I'm really just speaking about this hypothetically, about it being a slap in the face as opposed to weighing in my opinion. So I really can't weigh in on how good somebody's performance was if I didn't see the show. I'm not going to be the person. People do this a surprising amount. They're like, oh, well, you know, it was terrible. I'm like, okay, well, did you see it? No. But I'm like, but don't say it was terrible. And don't say right. It was good either. You know, but I do stand by that. This is a Tony Award. It should carry with it a great distinction and a very high honor. And I don't think it should be given to someone by default. So if they don't think that this person was deserving of a Tony nomination, then I say good for them for holding up the standard.
Now, do you think that this year's award, though, are going to hold that standard? Or do you think that all of these awards, like Aaron Tveit's, will get an asterisk next to it?
I don't know. I think that whether there's an asterisk next to it or a proverbial asterisk next to it
right. Will
be a different thing. That's a great question, because why would they put an asterisk next to it? I mean, I know why, but that doesn't seem fair to someone who was deserving of the Tony anyway.
Yeah.
I can think, I mean, for example, Mary Louise Parker in The Sound Inside, I thought that performance was just so absolutely brilliant. So she deserves a Tony for that. She deserves a Tony if there were 500 shows nominated. So why would she get an asterisk next to her name for this Tony Award? It's not right. I understand what you're asking, of course.
Yeah. Because, you know, going back to the 95 Tonys, The Lightning Thief is kind of where the parallel really strikes, because Sunset Boulevard was the only original musical that whole season. Again, that was just a very sparse season, had nothing to do with a pandemic, but it was the only original. And suffice to say, Sunset Boulevard is not Andrew Lloyd Webber's best musical, and some people think he doesn't have a best musical. But that being said, that is certainly not his best work. But yet it was the only original work. And so it was up for best original score and best book, because it was the only musical in that category. And it won both of those. So there is something to be said that simply because of this weird truncated season, very arbitrarily set as far as the February 19th date, that Lightning Thief could have, for sheer being the only one, could have risen up and be like, okay, well, vote on it if you think this is the only one eligible. Vote on it if you think, again, it would have to reach the 60% threshold. That's a possibility.
That's why I say slap in the face, because it was basically saying to Lightning Thief, we won't even nominate you when there's no other choice. I mean,
right.
That's what I haven't seen it, but that's why it's a slap in the face.
Right, because I'm hearing from people who did see it that they're like, we see why it wasn't nominated, even in this shortened season. So, you know.
Yeah, because it still carries with it a very high honor. The Pulitzer Prize, for example, the Pulitzer Prize has on multiple occasions not given out a Pulitzer Prize on a certain year. They just said, you know what? You all suck. And they don't give one out. So I've always respected the Pulitzer Committee for that in a really great way, because they said, yeah, like just because it's a year where there's not a lot of competition doesn't mean we're going to give one to a play that really doesn't deserve it.
So do you think then that they should have just not had a best original score category?
I think that they should have had one, as they did, because I do think that some of the writing for the plays, which would be eligible in that category, were really outstanding. So I think some of those were Tony nominee worthy. So to have the category completely eliminated would imply that none of those plays were deserving of any accolades.
But it's certainly very rare that a play is ever nominated. So it's not like it would have been
as much of a snub as it is toward Lightning Thief.
Correct. That's exactly correct.
So I'm curious, do you think that original musicals are dying off? Because the three musicals that are up all used jukebox or previously found music. So do you think original musicals are in a flux right now?
No, I don't. I don't think that they're in flux any more than the theater business just being closed in general. If you look at what audiences have really responded to as far as buying tickets in the past, in the most recent years, you had Hamilton was obviously the biggest, and then Dear Evan Hansen. Completely original, no star, not a jukebox, original score. This is what people are spending hundreds of dollars a ticket for.
Gentleman's Guide falls into that as well.
Sure. But I mean, Gentleman's Guide, of course, it absolutely does. And that was a great show. And, you know, but that was not like a hit. I'm talking about these mega hits.
The juggernauts, yeah.
But, and I hear people say, well, Broadway, it's, you know, it's Vegas, it's all jukebox. I'm like, yeah, but the audiences really do still crave, and they are showing this with what they're paying for, an original musical.
Mm-hmm.
Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen, those are the two juggernauts of the past few years. So I don't buy the argument that audiences only want movie musicals. I actually think that there is a yearning from the audience for original material that's well written. Because look at when it's done well, Hamilton and Evan Hansen, people are willing to come out of the woodwork to come see it. So I think the narrative that they only want jukebox musicals is false, and also it's not really fair. I think it's not correct.
But I do think that producers are putting out more jukebox or well-known material instead of original musicals. I do think there's an imbalance there.
It's much safer.
Yeah.
Because Dear Evan Hansen was an incredible gamble. When they were doing that show originally, there was Ben Platt was not famous in that show. It was a creative team that, you know, we knew in the theater community, but was not known internationally like maybe they are now.
Right.
And it was a show about teen suicide. I mean, there were so many risks. There was so much at stake to put that on Broadway. Like, that really could have bombed, not because it wasn't good, but because you could look at that as a producer and say, we have no one famous, we don't have a title anyone's heard of, and it's about kids killing themselves. I mean, who the hell wants to go to that? So it involves a good amount of risk. I don't really think it's that the musical's dying off. I just think that there aren't that many good ones that people are willing to spend that kind of money for. It's really, really hard to write a good musical, as has been.
Yeah, and it takes a long time to do it.
Correct.
Now, with that date in mind, could they have stuck with, you know, March 12th, which is when actually everything shut down? Could they have stuck with that and used video footage or had the previews and made that count? Is there a way that they could have made it work with a March 12th date?
I don't think so, because you can't guarantee that Tony nominating committee saw it. The Tony nominating committee is a very elite group of people in that it's not a huge group.
Well, according to Variety magazine, there are more than 850 Tony voters, but the actual nominating committee only has 54. You can find that full list of committee members on my Twitter account at WinMePodcast.
But that's a group of like previous Tony winners, and it's people from all departments. You got lighting design, Tony past winners, and set design and orchestrator. You know, it's a pretty great group of people, the Tony nominating committee. So if they didn't get to see it, then it's just not fair, you know?
But do you think they could have used video or recordings or anything like that?
No, because you can't judge someone's lighting design off of a video.
Yeah, that's true.
And you also for that matter, you shouldn't really judge someone's live performance off of a video either. But it's you're evaluating. It's the Tony Awards. It's the awards for live theater. It's not right to show it to someone on a video and expect them to evaluate it for a Tony Award. It's just otherwise you'd be giving them an Oscar or an Emmy. it's not meant to be done on screen, and it can't be evaluated on screen. So I don't know what the solution was. This was a really hard situation because I think a lot of people were deserving of accolades, especially
that had opened.
Yeah. Like, absolutely, people were deserving of awards. At the same time, though, it just sucks that it was like winning the gold medal in the Olympics when all the other athletes' bus broke down.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter how slow you ran, you still got the gold medal. And that, you know, what do? You can't cancel the race.
Yeah, true. So what do you think this is going to say for next year's Tonys, if there is one? Because as of right now, it doesn't look like Broadway is going to open up till fall of 21, maybe summer, fall of 21, which would be after the season anyway. So
that means that we're talking June of 2022.
Right, would be the next Tony Awards. And they're certainly not going to go back and pick up any shows that opened or were part of this season, unless they open again, right?
Unless they reopen. Like, I think, you know, if Six and The Company Revival and Girl from North Country, and I think if all of those shows come back, then of course they will be eligible for the next one.
Right.
Given the cast may be dead from old age. But right. But I think that, yeah, of course, that they will be, everyone will be eligible if you open a runway for the Tonys. But the awards won't be till the following June.
Yeah.
It's also why they had to do something now for this one, because otherwise you would be voting on Tina Turner the musical in June of 2022. I mean, like, people would be like, what, did I see that? You know what I mean? Like, it would be so, yeah, it would be 2 years after the fact. So
you definitely think they should have had the Tony Awards this year. Like, maybe they should have done it in the summer whenever they actually set that February 19th date.
I don't think they should have had them. I think that they should have done some acknowledgement of what they thought was excellent. I think it's an unprecedented situation, and I think it should have been handled in an unprecedented way.
While the Drama Desk Awards also had nominees and winners like the Tony Awards are doing this year, the Outer Critics Circle took a different approach to their awards. Like most, they postponed their awards at first, but once they realized the shutdown wasn't going to be temporary, they decided to move forward in a way that was respectful to both the theater industry and the outside world. Quote, by creating a sense of communal joy at a time when we all need it most. So the Outer Critics Circle, also celebrating their 70th anniversary, made the decision to forego the competition aspect and have the organization's members determine up to 5 names in each of their 26 categories. There would be no winners, only a list of honorees. And they ended up announcing these honorees on their original reveal date back in May. Now, one way the Outer Critics Circle differ from the Tonys is that they include both Broadway and off-Broadway shows. But this year, there was another key difference. The Outer Critics Circle eligibility date was set at March 6th, allowing for almost 170 productions to be considered, including a host of those not eligible for the Tonys, like West Side Story. However, just like the Tonys, The Lightning Thief was once again shut out completely. I gotta tell you, I would love to have been a fly on the wall as the Tony nominating committee was figuring out their own approach to these awards.
I think it would have involved a lot of discussion, but I think if it was, like, not that it would ever be up to one person. I'm sure that they all didn't agree on this, by the way. Like, we're like, shame on you, Tony committee. But I'm like, do you think they all agreed? You know, they were I'm sure they couldn't agree on anything about how to do this. I'm sure there were plenty of Tony nominating committee, plenty, that said, don't do it. There's no way that at least that half of them probably didn't want to even do this in the first place. And I'm sure half of them disagreed with nominating one person for best actor. Like, you know, it must have been a mess. I think if I were on the Tony nominating committee, I would have voted to give some recognition to the people that deserved it, but not do a whole Tony Awards.
Yeah, a Tony citation or something.
Something. I don't know. But again, I keep saying this, but I feel for them because it's a no-win. Yeah. It's a no-win situation. If they had done nothing, that wouldn't have really been right either. So I don't envy the position they were in to have to figure this out.
Normally, the announcement of Tony nominees is met with excitement and predictions. But did you see the headlines after this year's nominations came out? I mean, some of them used words like erratic and shocking. The Washington Post, for example, said the Tony nominations have been announced and they are the weirdest ever. Theater Mania wrote, the Tonys point a middle finger at the Lightning Thief. Boy, did they ever. The New York Post simply put it, the 2020 Tony Award nominations were weird and sad.
And that's so, you see, that's part of the reason why I think the instinct to do it in the first place was wrong, because that's so unfair to someone like Danny Burstein, who is going to win a Tony this year and has, by the way, deserved to win a Tony about 600 other times and never has. And now he's nominated and they're like, the sad Tony nominations. I'm like, you know, F off. Because it's just not, and I also felt the same way, Mary Louise Parker, Adrian Warren, they all deserve to win Tonys. Lauren Patton, all of them. I mean, like, and I just don't think it's right to say it's the lame Tonys when they deserve to win a real one.
Right. There's been a hashtag going around called the Tiny Awards instead of Tony Awards.
I actually thought maybe Aaron Tveit, it would have been really interesting. I know he's not going to do this. I'm sure he probably isn't allowed to if he wanted to. What would have happened if he said, I'm declining this nomination?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that too.
If he just said, I'm honored. I'm so honored to have the nomination, but I'm going to decline it. I think that actually would have propelled him further. Mm-hmm. I think he would have been so in the news for being the great American hero to theater if he just said, thank you so much. I can't accept this, and to not take the Tony. That would have been insane, but it would have been so, I think, classy and elegant and just made him look fucking great. By the way, I like Aaron Tveit a lot. So I'm not saying.
I love him. Yeah. And Next to Normal, he was fantastic. So I love his work.
And he's also a good human being too. Like he's a good guy. People like working with him. And I know him, you know, sort of. We're not close friends, but we have worked together. Yeah. Like he's a really good guy. So I refuse to ever speak ill of him because he, as I said, when we started this conversation, he doesn't deserve to have anything said bad about him for this.
When the nominations came out, Aaron Tveit and all the nominees released their statements and reactions. Tveit said, it's a huge honor and I am so grateful to be nominated. It's also vitally important to highlight that this recognition represents collectively thousands of hours of work by hundreds of individuals working on Moulin Rouge the musical. All the brilliant craftspeople, technicians, stagehands, and crew that run our show night to night, those in the front and back of the house, inside and outside our stage doors, our incredible audience and fans, and of course, the cast, creative team, and producers. A day hasn't gone by since the shutdown began that I haven't missed the theater, and I look forward to when we can all return. I hope this can be a positive lift amidst an industry shutdown with an ever-changing timeline, as well as a reminder of the power of live theater and what it can do for us as individuals and for our world. Now that was a very nicely worded sentiment, gracious and acknowledged the full team of people that went into making Moulin Rouge happen. It gave mention to the shutdown, but I gotta say, it still seemed a bit disconnected from the moment, like a publicist wrote that. I mean, he's the only nominee. Worth mentioning, maybe? It was just a little too verbose and robotic in its language. Like it couldn't have been written any old year. Like, it's just a regular Tony Award season.
Did you read all of the responses from everybody? They all sounded like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They all sounded like someone else wrote it in another time.
That's exactly correct. And I just didn't believe that any of them actually said what they wrote. The response, I've read them in the past, and normally they're like, I'm freaking out. I'm in the bathroom screaming, you know, like something like that. And this, right. year, and this year they were like, I just want to take a minute to acknowledge the American Theater Wing and how grateful. It was very formal and very, it was weird. It was like, it felt very.
It seemed like the American Theater Wing wrote them.
That's, I think that they did. And I think that they probably signed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like yeah. when Mike Tyson writes an autobiography, someone wrote it and then he said, okay.
Yeah. It just seemed strange.
Yeah. I thought so too.
So I guess we should get to who do we think is going to win these? You know, we talked
about Aaron Tveit.
Right, right. That I think that's the only one that we can almost certainly guarantee. But as far as the musicals that are up.
It's Tina Turner, Moulin Rouge, and Jagged Little Pill.
There you go.
To me, there's no, I don't see too many surprises happening in any of the categories. Well, the design categories, I have no idea because that's always a tough one to call. But the major category is directing, and I think there's no question. I mean, best musical will be Moulin Rouge. Actress will be Adrienne Warren, without a doubt. Actor will be Aaron Tveit. I think featured actor will be Danny Burstein, as sure as the day is long. There's 0% chance for anybody else. And best featured actress is a little more complicated, but I would say 98% Lauren Patton, who's not my sister, by the way. People have asked me if we're related. We look nothing alike. Lauren Patton for Jagged Little Pill. I would be shocked if she did not win.
Yeah. So yeah, so plays kind of outweighed musicals this year as far as nominations, as far as, you know, great stuff that came out.
Even without
deserving.
Even without the other plays that were supposed to open this fall, it was a really good category.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a strong category.
Like, there were some performances in plays that I saw that were totally deserving of a nomination that didn't get nominated this year because the category was so intense.
So it was definitely a strong year for plays, even though it was shortened.
If the plays this spring had opened, it would have been the most insane year for plays ever because it was already an insane category and we didn't get half of the nominations available. We didn't even open Laurie Metcalf in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, who you know she was going to win the third Tony in 4 years for that.
Right, right.
It's the Laurie Metcalf Repertory Theater. She's in a play on 45th Street every spring, and she wins a Tony. Deserving, if she's listening.
Oh, she's always deserving.
If she's listening, she deserves all of them, and then one more after that.
The sheer fact that she wakes up every day should get a Tony Award. Yes. As just a thank you.
Just brushing her teeth is a nomination.
Right. And speaking of someone who's always nominated, Audra McDonald, of course.
Frankie and Johnny, yeah.
Do you think that she got the nomination because of who she is?
No, she was brilliant. I saw that. I would apps. She could win. I mean, she always could win. She was superb in that show and very different. That production was beautiful. And she was transformative in that performance. It was nothing. She completely shed her normal elegance and regal quality that she sort of has when she's on stage as a singer. And she was sort of gritty and down, and she was unbelievable. The fact that Michael Shannon did not get a nomination, I don't know who else is in that category, but that should indicate also how ridiculous that category must have been because he was also amazing. So, you know, it's a crazy, that was a really, must have been a great year.
And do you think that the nominations that were there, particularly in the play category, because along with the pandemic, there've been a lot of social and racial unrest and issues that have come up both in the country, but also in theater. Do you think these Tony Awards gave an acknowledgement of that in some way? I mean, there's Slave Play, obviously, which racked up, you know, the most of any play ever. But beyond that, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that they just picked who they thought were the strongest ones. I don't think there was any affirmative action when it came to Tony votes. And there weren't enough nominees for the musicals for anybody to argue anything.
Of course.
No one was going to say, oh, why weren't there more of X, Y, and Z when they nominated everything that was open. I don't think the Tonys do that. You know what I mean? This is made up of a committee of other Tony, past Tony winners and theater artists. And I think that they really go with who is deserving. And I think as we've seen, many times the people that are most deserving are women and people of color.
Yeah.
So we don't have to give them a leg up because they don't need it. You know, they are absolutely deserving of any awards that they've gotten. Is anyone going to, I mean, Audra McDonald has the most Tonys of any living actor.
Right.
Is anyone going to say she got them because she was black?
Or a woman? No.
No one's saying that. Trust me. Because it's just not true. It's just, it's right. objectively false. So no, I don't think so. I don't think, especially not this year. I don't think anyone catered to that.
Nor did they really need to, because as you said, there was a strong showing of plays that had a list of nominations that could have gone out to even more than they had. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Do you think that the reaction so far of Broadway of, well, it'll be January. No, it'll be spring, summer. And now fall is when it's looking. Do you think that it's right that it keeps pushing it?
What do you mean, is it right?
Do you agree with that response? That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Not entirely. I think that there could be much more proactive work happening than there is, as opposed to just saying, shut down, shut down, shut down. They're not taking any steps to reopen.
None.
They're just delaying until you can just go back at full capacity. No one's talking about ventilation systems. I mean, it's just, or I mean, if they are, they're not talking about it publicly.
Right.
Maybe they're happening in closed meetings, but there's no, where is the community? Where is the head of our industry getting out there being like, here's the plan. Here's what we're doing. Here's the steps. Here's option A. Here's option B. It's dead silence. There's no conversation about it. I really believe after this last announcement that it's going to be until June 30th. I think a lot of people left the business that day. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Not me, but I do think a lot of people left because I think that was the point. They said, I'm going to have to do something else in the interim. And if I'm going to do something else, I may as well just do something else.
Yeah. So do you think that the pandemic itself will affect how shows are produced or made once we do reopen again? Or do you think it's just going to go back to the same old normal once we're back?
I mean, I feel like you have to know what I'm going to say, which is that it's going to change it in every capacity. And I think it's going to change it more than we think. Not only is it going to change it, I think it's going to be beyond. I don't know how it's going to change it yet. A lot of people, of course, think that they know, but I don't think we will really know how it's going to change it until we look back in history, you know, 25 years from now. We'll say, here's the direction it went.
Yeah.
My instinct right now tells me that people are going to want comedies and happy shows when we're coming out of this. I don't think people are going to want overly woke political theater. I think that we have been so overly saturated with that in the media and the news on social media. We're going to really want theater to be an escape.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my gut instinct, but there's no way of knowing. You know, Mamma Mia, a lot of people say, was an international phenomenon because of 9/11. Mamma Mia opened like about a week before 9/11 or something like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that show just became a huge, huge hit. And people have always speculated, was it because of 9/11 that Mamma Mia just took off? Because it was not political. It required no critical thinking. It didn't have any agenda politically. People went insane for it.
It was just a party. That was it. Yeah.
And it was such a relief.
Oh.
So same with the producers opened a little bit like that, but that spring before 9/11.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people just wanted the producers. They wanted Mamma Mia. Those were the two hits of that year. I wonder if we'll see the same thing. They're going to want A Christmas Carol. I think they're going to want Music Man, honestly.
I think Music Man will be huge when they'll be ready.
Oh yeah.
It was going to be huge regardless.
But I think it might be really huge now.
For me, I hope that the pandemic will show producers two things. That maybe it doesn't need to cost $30 million to put on a musical, that maybe there's a way that we can cut these costs. And you know, because I think that's one of the things that's keeping shows from, you know, it's not being able to sell tickets, not being able to make $1 million a week to keep a show running. So they're just not going to do it. So I think that's part of it. And then secondly, I hope that video, as we're now having to do with online stuff, that video will start to incorporate, and Equity and SAG will get their act together and be able to work together and make theater have a video component when it services and when it's appropriate.
It's interesting. But when theater has a video component, is it still theater or is it now video?
Well, I think that the music industry, that a song, a pop song, is still a musical piece, even though it has a music video. It's still that the song, the lyrics, the composition of the melody is still the essential element, even though you've now added a video part to it.
Yeah, I was asking that. That wasn't rhetorical. I mean, I wonder, yeah, what, I don't know. I mean, people still go to football games, even though you can watch one on TV.
Yeah.
It never, televising sports never stopped people from going in person.
I agree with you that there is something special that is a stage production that isn't TV or film. So yes, that is correct. And I don't think that's ever going to change.
No.
But I hope that Equity in particular can start to embrace when things can be on video, when things can be, you know, performed in New York, but yet someone in Iowa can see it, or vice versa.
It's going to change for sure. I agree with you. Because this is happening whether we like it or not.
Right.
So we just got to figure out how it's going to work. We've opened up, we've uncorked the bottle. You know what I mean? It's we're not going back. So I'll be curious to see.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, were there any other like final thoughts that you had about the Tonys themselves?
No, I'm curious to see when they schedule them for. I think it's the fact that they gave the nominations and they're like, I didn't get around to it. I suspect what's going on is that they're trying to get performances, and good luck, because nobody's going to want to pay for that when you can't sell a ticket.
Right.
No show wants, yeah. I mean, first of all, the shows are going to be lucky if they reopen, let's be honest. And now you're going to ask them to pay money to advertise when they can't sell. No, this is why they haven't picked a date. It's like when you haven't picked the date for the wedding because you're not really sure if you love the other person. It's they can't commit to this because they don't know what they're going to do for the ceremony.
Yeah, because it was just remarkable to me that they gave no notice of the nominations, but then along with that, no hint of when the show is going to be. It's just very telling, I think, of the whole process this year of theater.
I know, it's insane. It's insane. It's literally insane.
. 2020 continues to be a strange year, full of the unexpected and unprecedented. What do you think of the Tony Awards? How did you react? Excited? Ambivalent? Somewhere in between? Connect with me on Twitter at WinMePodcast, and not only check out the articles I've mentioned in today's episode, but share your own response to these nominations. I'm so curious if you agree with Nate and I or have a completely different perspective on these nominations. A big thank you to Nate for sharing his thoughts today, and I am certainly grateful to you for joining our conversation. Well, I'm your host, Patrick Oliver Jones, and coming up on the podcast is a month-long series of bettering ourselves and bettering our careers. You'll hear from psychologists, a publicist, a marketing branding coach, and even a professional athlete. They'll be giving their own perspectives on how we can better manage our own lives and the work that we do, especially in this downtime for theater and the arts. So join me and these special guests as we talk more about Why I'll Never Make It.